Michelle Monroe.
Is that right, Michelle?
It is. It's me.
Yay.
I'm live on air.
And relax.
Where's my jingle, Alex?
Well, Mr. Computer is still poorly, Jing.
Done.
I know. Exactly. And so, yeah, we've had to juggle a few things around. We're still playing wonderful digital outputs, but as far as Mr. Computer is actually concerned, at least one version of Mr. Computer, a poorly case. It's when you have computer services people coming in and, you know, you've had some cowboys in here, mate, and, you know, other such quotes.
Yes. Yes.
You know, you think,
we know those people.
Well, exactly.
Yes.
But that show must go on, as Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland and Matt Monro will all have said. The show must go on.
And so it always did, actually. There were lots of instances where he shouldn't have gone on.
Yeah. No.
You know, illness and the like. But they all went on if they possibly could.
Michelle, we were just talking to Sofia Tolvik, singer-songwriter from Sweden, and she was based in Stockholm, and she was unaware of Matt Monro. Did Matt ever get across to Stockholm to do
it? No, he didn't.
Ah, you see, this is...
In fact, I think countries like Greenland and Latvia and that ilk, that area, no, didn't seem to.
Hmm. Well, that Sofia is excused, the fact that she's...
Yeah, Netherlands, yes, and Belgium, Germany... That area, yes.
However, the great news is that through the magic of sirenonline.co.uk, we are spreading the word.
Everywhere, don't we, Alex?
Exactly.
We're like a bad rat.
I like to feel kind of spreading the love, really, but that's even worse when we start talking about various other bits and pieces. We obviously gave Natalie Smith the role of reading the singer-singer. I handed over to her in the studio back in December last year, in fact, you know, a year ago. Since then, have we seen hiding a hair of her? No. She blames the weather. Now she's blaming the trains that have prevented her from coming into the studio from Nottingham.
No, I should hope not only has she read the book, but she's read the follow-up, which I haven't even written.
Exactly. Because she should have the power to do that, you know, but who knows? Sarah Bullimore, we gather, might be on her way. She may not. Who knows? But whatever the weather... In fact, actually, Sarah Bullimore is outside at the moment asking, please, may I enter?
Aww.
Now, she hasn't got a card to enter into the studio, so security-wise, Kathleen, if you would be kind enough to go and open the door for her, then we can at least say Sarah Bullimore is here, she's sorted, magical things will continue to actually happen. It's one of those things, Michelle, again, from the point of view of security, as you'll appreciate, and you'll see this when we get you up to the Siren Studios, obviously been at our sister station, Southside, but we have a system here where people outside can look in and see us, but they can't enter. They can't just walk in. They've got to go through. Oh, yeah, it's security. You know, that's a key thing.
Well, you have to have.
Well, exactly.
Otherwise, people could come in and take the Matt Monro album.
Precisely. Exactly.
And borrow it, you know, and we can't have that.
We cannot indeed.
By the way, it was a pleasure talking to the station manager last week, and we had some fantastic feedback on it, on the programme.
Excellent. Well, we thought, you know, we thought Andrew David is a good soul. We've sort of worked with him a number of times. Obviously, we're connected together in all manner of wondrous ways. And
I think people were fascinated because he knew Dad.
Yes.
You know, he knew Tim Panelli and Alien Hall, and it was all very familiar. And, of course, it's nice to be able to talk to someone who knew what was going on. People, we had fantastic feedback from the show last week.
And, of course, you can listen again to that piece with Andrew David, Michelle Monro, Joy Knight and myself by simply clicking on the Midweek Drives, listen again to the interviews feature, take you to southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com, and then there it is. You've even got your own page there, as you say, the Michelle Monro page.
Yeah, well, it was a good show last week. And also, last week I picked a more unusual track from Dad's first Capitol album. And this week I'm continuing along the same vein with an unusual recording dating from the sessions of Dad's second album, but actually released as a B-side exclusively in the United States. Arranged and conducted by Sid Feller on the 8th of June 1966, the session covered four songs. Two were left unreleased at the time, and the third, When Joanna Loved Me, was included on the album Here's to My Lady. This fourth song was written by the songwriting team of Buddy Scott and Jimmy Radcliffe, who wrote songs for artists as diverse as Tom Jones, Helen Shapiro, the Andrew Sisters, and, of course, the Banana Splits. Like Honey on the Vine, it doesn't appear to have been recorded by anyone else, and while last week's choice was bluesy with a bit of swing, this is full-on blues. And although Wednesday, Here is that very track, Fourth Blue Monday.
You see, if anybody can do it, it's Matt Munro can actually say there are four Blue Mondays in a week.
Yes. And I love the way you said to me earlier, but it's Wednesday.
What? Sometimes I can be such a pedant, as you know, Michelle.
Well, you see, through the magic of radio, we are able to play a Monday record on a Wednesday.
Exactly.
But I love it when you said that, and I said, but if we don't play it, we'll never play it, because we're always going out on a Wednesday.
Exactly. Although it has been said, we revealed it early in the show, we will say it again, that the Midweek Drive is getting another broadcast siren sibling. Yes, Sarah Bullimore, now you'll have the opportunity not only to turn us down on a Wednesday night and go between 5 through to 7 p.m, but also we kick off February the 3rd, a new morning edition, 8 a.m. through to 10 a.m.
Very good.
Excellent.
Well, there we are. So we'll be getting a whole range of things together. But
no, it's good. I mean, you know, this is why the radio station, as well as your programme, is diverse music. And the reason I picked that song tonight was because there is Dad in full-on blues. And interestingly, he was actually voted Jazz Singer of the Year by Melody Maker. Not once, but 2 years running, beating George Mello to the top of the charts. And people quite can't understand that now. But then they, you know, those are the songs he sang earlier. He sang quite a few of them.
And if you want tenuous connections, the bed and breakfast I utilise when I'm down in Lincoln is the same bed and breakfast the late George Melier used to use as well.
Oh, no. Fancy.
Yeah, no, exactly. Sometimes I felt a kind of channeling through. I just thought, no, surely they must have changed the clothes at least once here. It's a different life. So we continue. Sarah, any questions you'd like to put to Michelle?
Hello, Michelle. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Jolly good. That was a lovely piece of music. I really enjoyed that one, actually.
It's simple.
Yeah.
I think the voice just comes through. You can hear every
note. You can, yeah, definitely. No, it was really, really
nice. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Have you got any, what sort of plans have you got lined up for 2011? Anything exciting?
Oh, yes. Big year this year. Yeah. 7th of February, which is Dad's anniversary. We have our new product coming out, plug, plug, plug. But in fact, I'm very excited because it's actually called Words and Music. And is what it says on the cover.
Yeah.
The words being the audio of the book, which is a highly abridged, I will point out. Otherwise, it would have probably been on about 15 CDs. And the music side comes from the Hokey Carmichael sessions that he did. And my dad did an album in the 60s called Matt Sings Hokey Carmichael, which never has been released on CD as a standalone. And it's one of the most requested things over the years. But I didn't want to just take it and reproduce it now. Mm. We've actually gone back, Richard Moore, with his genius as usual, has gone back to the actual session and lifted everything from it. And so there's some nice rarities going to be on that as well. So, yeah, that's exciting.
That is fascinating.
And then in September, the paperback comes out with a re-release of a CD set we did, a 4-CD set, also called The Singer's Singer. So, yes, it's exciting.
I'm thinking, Michelle, here, September, just ahead of World's Words.
I'm thinking the same,
we're
Alex.
Thinking,
we should talk, Michelle.
We're thinking World's Words. We're thinking...
Yeah, ready for October. We're starting our programming now, ready for the festival. So
Lincoln
yes.
Festival here. Marvellous. Mm. Guaranteed. Well, we won't do something that put you together with a Doctor Who director this time, Michelle. We'll get you in your own.
It was good.
Well, exactly.
It was an excellent show, and it's a shame more people couldn't have seen it, actually, because it was really fabulous day.
It was the citizens of Middlesbrough's loss, that's all I can say. We were Graham Harper, Michelle Munro, and yours truly, working our little backsides off there, putting the same kind of effort into it that Sarah Bullimore puts into one of her scones. She's brought in some scones, Michelle. Isn't that wonderful?
How lovely.
In fact, I'm going to open it up just in front of the microphone for you.
There we are. Oh, that is gorgeous.
And it's got a jam filling in, it's got everything in there. It's
what was that, Alex, years ago? Was it a smell sniff TV or something?
Oh, please,
wallpaper.
That's what it is. I can smell the aroma wafting down the phone.
Scratch and sniff radio on the Midweek Drive.
Yes, wasn't that awful?
Unlike, it has to be said, a Sarah Bullimore scone. It's fantastic. It's great. If only we actually had our head chef in as well.
Yes, how is he?
I think he's very well.
Good.
Hopefully he's listening to this now. But
yes, well, hopefully when I come down to Lincoln.
You come down as well.
We'll all gather. We'll
happiness
convene.
Will be there, exactly. Your
absolutely.
Normal routine will be
but
there.
But it'll be fun because the paperback has obviously been delayed because, touch wood, of the success of the hardback. But it'd be nice to bring that out and make it more affordable for everybody, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Onwards, ever onwards, Kathleen. I think I've got confidence saying you'll be able to ask Michelle Munro those last two questions. Off you go.
I just wanted to find out a bit more about you, actually. I know that you've done a lot of things promoting your father's memory and sort of trying to educate everybody in the work that he's done, but I'm interested in finding out more about you, really.
Oh, that's very kind. Well, I'm boring.
I'm sure that's not true.
No, I used to be a sort of conference and banqueting and wedding coordinator.
Okay.
That was my sort of my art, and I did that for a long time. And then I got an illness called multiple sclerosis. So I had to gracefully or ungracefully retire. And that got me thinking that I would go bored if I didn't do something.
Yeah.
And so I launched the website. That's how it all started, really. And launched to mattmonroe.com just to see what sort of reaction I would get. And, of course, it was fantastic, getting about 5,000 hits a month.
And that's why we use the adjective, when we think about Michelle Munro, we use the adjective inspirational.
Definitely.
Bless your heart. Inspirational. But no, that's how it really started for me. And it just became, I suppose, a bit of a passion in sort of seeing how far I could go with being able to push it. And then I was asked if I'd put a project together for EMI, and then that started that. And then I asked me if I'd write the notes for the albums. And it sort of progressed from there, really, and it hasn't stopped since.
It just gets better and better. And, of course, because she didn't ask the two direct questions, that gave me a chance to actually taste some of Sarah Bullimore's fantastic scone. It's delicious, Sarah. Very good. Do you know, you're the only person who's actually managed to persuade me to actually take some food and sustenance whilst on air.
Well, while you're
15 years.
I will tell you your two answers. Of course I will be with you next week, and I've had the most fantastic, interesting chat to you this week.
Hey, she's a consummate professional. Consummate, exactly.
See, that gave you a chance to have a few more crumbs.
Precisely.
You probably dropped a lot. But always a pleasure.
Never a chore.
Never.
There we go.
And I'll see you next week.
Strangely catchy from the lady who has no connection with Pygmalion or, as far as I know, doesn't talk to the animals, Eliza Doolittle, on Siren 107.3 FM. The kind of link which in his early broadcasting days in Canadian radio, when he had a parrot in the studio... Yeah, we might say Shane Rimmer might have done for that. Hey, listen,
oh, dear.
I have to state at this very moment, last year, 2010, of course, my book of the year was uncategorically, quite simply, Michelle Munro's The Singer's Singer, the biography of her father, the late Matt Munro. 2011, even though it was published in 2010, I've got to go, Shane Rimmer. And from Thunderbirds to Pterodactyls, it is way up there and a 10 out of 10 so far, Shane. Brilliant stuff.
Oh, you're amazingly good.
Just the fact that I don't get a mention, despite having worked with you for about 24 years, I think, well, you know, it's
is
all
it
right.
That, my God. Time flies. Well, sometimes it doesn't fly, but it certainly has.
We like to feel it's always flown when we've worked together on all these radio gigs.
That's right.
It's been
great.
South London or Teesside or whatever from that point of view. It's brilliant stuff. Now, we're moving along here because we have Kathleen Drury in the studio.
Hello.
Yes.
Keen to work through that. And Kathleen is looking to put together with myself a programme on musicals, a monthly show on musicals. And I'm thinking, well, Shane is your man. You know, Guys and Dolls, King, a whole range of things there. There are still people, even today, Shane, who find it difficult to believe when I say, yes, I once saw Shane on the stage in London performing in a musical about Martin Luther King. But you were there. Yeah, I remember that time. Genius.
I was on the other side.
Well,
there were about three white actors in a play, and all the rest were, and they were great.
It was good. It was
wonderful, talented people. But King obviously was about black actors and the movement that they fostered in America. Martin Luther King, that was the man.
Fantastic stuff. And we also have one of the key people behind the World's Words Festival and Cultural Solutions and various other bits and pieces. So I've actually said, Sarah Bullimore, if you do not book Shane Rimmer for this year's World's Words Festival in Louth, I'm sorry, I'd just be amazed.
Quite addicted to the book already.
Exactly. It has to be said, Shane, as well, Sarah is a soul who introduced me to the delights of Angelina Ballerina, although it has to be said, she's never replaced Lady Penelope or indeed the fantastic world of Atlanta Shore, in my scenario. But the great thing about the book is so many great things. We'll do random selections across the base, that it encompasses probably 50 years of a period in British and international show business and movie history, which in many ways you sort of look back and you think, did we really do all that? Did we really actually go and perform for the troops just at the time as the Bay of Pigs crisis was actually happening? Did we actually work through that? As I said to your wife, Sheila, I'll look at it. I now, when I speak to her, think of her in a whole new light after being in one of those key dance routine scenario and the courtship scenario. It's fantastic stuff, and there's lots of really great stuff working through the whole text, etc. When's the audiobook coming out? When's the audiobook
coming out? Well, just working on it now with a publisher.
Excellent.
It's almost more difficult to take out than to put in.
Yeah.
You know, because it's got to be some sort of restricted time. I think we're going to have to cut out about a third of the book. Just to make it fit into the CD thing. So that's what we're working on at the moment. Hmm.
Sarah, questions from yourself.
Hello, Shane.
Hi.
Alex has just kind of put the book in front of me.
She's
I'm
a speedy
already,
reader. Like, she's exactly.
Just done it in 10 minutes.
It's always quick.
And it looks absolutely fascinating. I actually kind of work with a theatre company as well as my kind of hat on developing festivals and organising festivals. So I'm really, really interested in kind of, you know, all your different roles that you've had within theatre. But also we're starting to actually branch out now into films, and the artistic director that I work with is starting to kind of write films as well. And I see you've written for some really exciting episodes here of like Captain Scarlet and Joe 90, which I absolutely love that entire era. One kind of particular thing that comes to mind, have you got a particular role either within theatre or film or something that you would like to write for that you haven't yet experienced that you'd kind of like to tackle?
Well,
Shane, there's another 35 years to go here. So,
The autobiography was the first sort of novel, or not a novel, but a prose book. I'd written quite a few scripts before for radio and television, but this really was something else. The other was a lot of fiction and a lot of things that you were dreaming up to make to make it interesting. What with a biography and autobiography, you got to be absolutely honest. The thing that makes it, I think, fairly genuine, is that you think of one. I start off with the Kubrick Dr. Strangelove episode. And he was a monumental figure, Stanley. The one thing he left us with was give and take. As an actor, you got to give, and then you can take. But the give comes first. And he was he hired us as half a dozen raw recruits to get on this bomber. I mean, we didn't know the back door from the front door or anything else in the thing. But we were on there for 3 months, and the generosity of the man is still something I remember very clearly. Yeah.
And, of course, talking about not knowing the back door from the front door, Peter Sellers didn't know either because he fell through and broke his leg. But there we are, that's Peter Sellers.
Yes, he got his wheelchair for about three more weeks.
Dearie me. Now, Sarah, you mentioned a magical thing there. You said about, obviously, Shane, not just as an actor, ace actor, etc. Three juices. We clearly need to dig out the three juices just to actually dig material from there. But you also mentioned, obviously, his time as a writer for a particular series. So without any further ado...
there he goes.
Yes, the theme to The Protectors. You're expecting Captain Scarlet, and we've got a bit of Captain Scarlet coming up. But there was a lovely little story that came through from how a role which was originally written by you, Shane, for the late Bernard Schwartz, otherwise known as Tony Curtis, of course. When Tony, on the set of The Persuaders, and I did my research because I actually watched both these episodes last night. Yeah, the episode of The Persuaders entitled Element of Risk. as far as I recall, in which Shane portrayed a somewhat sort of American criminal mastermind called Harvey, came over and was mistaken. But apparently, Tony Curtis, when he was on the set, he saw Shane doing as he's prone to do, just soaking up the assets, seeing what was there, saying, writing your memoirs, probably not in that kind of accent, but etc. And funny enough, Shane then wrote a character called Zeke for an episode of The Protectors with Robert Vaughn, Larry Dawn Porter, Tony Allen Holt, etc., in which the title was called Zeke's Blues, and it was written for Tony Curtis, and then, lo and behold, Tony couldn't make it, so you do the role instead. Genius.
I did, with a certain amount of resistance, but it was okay. He came over to me while I was sitting on the set of The Persuaders, which is a thing he did with Roger Moore, and writing something down on a pad. I mean, everybody in Hollywood, as your man will tell you, Mr. Joyner, you have to really be very aware of people around you with pens and pads, because you don't know what they're writing and you don't know what your response could possibly be to that. But Curtis came over because he was a bit worried about my writing on the side of the set. I told him what it was all about. I'd just been commissioned to do a script for the Protectors. So that was okay. But I just had to get on the side of the set to see how the fella moved. I mean, he's the most attractive actor. He's a good one, a good comic, and he can turn it around and be somebody quite else. And so I was absolutely interested to see him.
Some of those episodes of The Persuaders.
In that sort of role.
They work
because I wanted to adopt some of it from what I was going to have to do after he left.
I'll tell you what, Shane, you mentioned The Persuaders. Obviously, you've worked with Sir Roger Moore in a number of... I mean, you've worked with Roger Moore when he was in The Saint. You've worked with him, obviously, as James Bond, various other bits and pieces. Let's just cast our mind back here. Or for those folk who weren't even born when The Persuaders actually came onto the whole scene, etc., just setting a whole new world of ITC back production to a little clip from the John Barry theme.